Well, it is a blessing to be able to gather together today. It's wonderful. We've got a lot of folks that are visiting with us, and you are our honored guest, and we hope that you'll come back and be with us again. We're kind of continuing our thought, living right in a world gone wrong. You know, there's some different things, maybe you've had them go wrong in your life. I remember the story of this older couple. They were sitting on the swing. Brother Danny, what did you say y'all had been married 52 years? Was it 57? She said it felt like 57. Was it 52? 52. Older couple sitting on a swing. Nice shave. Looking good back there. I couldn't even recognize you, Jacob. Sitting on the swing. Rocking back and forth. Been married 52 years. He looked over at her. They were both a little hard of hearing. He said, "Honey, I have found our love to be tried and true." She said, "Huh?" He said, "I have found our love, and it is tried and true." "What did you say?" "I found our love, and it's tried and true." And she looked over and said, "Well, I'm tired of you too." Occasionally, there are things that will go wrong. And that's one of my favorites to tell about and to think about. This week, last week we started thinking about this idea of what do we do when the world has gone so wrong around us. And don't be mistaken, it's not a new problem. It's not something new that we're enduring. This is a continuation of what all began in Genesis chapter 3 when sin entered our world. We are now just part of the resulting product. We see it around us. We see the effects of it, sometimes more prominent in our culture, in our day, than maybe before. And so what do we do as God's people, as Christ followers, as part of His body? What do we do in a world that's gone so wrong? Well, last week we started and we looked at John chapter 14 and we talked about how we need to stay calm. Jesus challenged us and He said, "You believe in God, believe also in Me." He said, "You want to stay calm? Believe in the right people. Believe in the right person." He said, "You want to stay calm in this world that's kind of upside down and topsy-turvy?" He says, "You need to believe in My promise." He said, "Because I'm going to prepare a place for you." And finally, He talked about believing in His plan. Jesus said, "I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And no one comes to the Father except by Him." If we want to stay calm in this world that's kind of gone mad, we must be connected to Christ. We must not only be connected, as we turn the pages through John's gospel, we find Jesus giving us another image about how we stay calm, how we stay true, how we stay on course in the middle of this world that we live in. And in John 15, I want to give us this thought. We must stay connected. Turn with me, if you would, to John's gospel, and let's read from John chapter 15 together as we think about what it looks like for us to live in the Lord's vineyard. What it looks like for us as part of those who are connected to Christ. And as you listen to these words, I want you to ask yourself, first of all, ask yourself this question. Have I connected myself? Am I making the most of what God is offering me through the vine? Or have I just kind of looked back and I'm kind of like going, well, maybe I'll consider that. But no, there is a connection that must take place. Think about that. Am I connected? As you read through the text, you're going to find other things. Am I fruitful? Am I growing? How do I handle being pruned? How do I handle being trimmed back? What does it look like and why? John 15, beginning verse 1. Jesus says, "I am the true vine, and My Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, He prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Remain in Me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and it withers. Such branches are picked up and they're thrown into fire and burned. And if you remain in me and my words remain in you, whatever you ask, ask and it will be done for you. And this is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I love you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's command and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than to lay his life down for one's friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business, but instead I've called you friends, for everything that I've learned from my Father I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit that will last. And so whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. And this is my command: love one another. I want to pause right there in the chapter as we begin to think about what does it look like for us as God's people to stay connected. What does this engagement with Christ look like? To fully kind of understand Jesus jumping right in here and saying, I am the true vine, we kind of have to go back a little bit. Vineyard life was not something that was uncommon to the people of this day. Vineyard life was something that was very common. There was a prevalent part of life, even going back off to the days when Noah gets off the ark. One of the first things he does is plants a vineyard. You know, you go back and you see this, and it even becomes a bit of imagery that God will use to kind of help people see the importance of connection to Him. You go back in the Scriptures, and you find all the way back in the book of Psalms, and you're going to find in Psalm chapter 81, this image of the vine. Psalm 80, verse 8. He says this: you transplanted a vine from Egypt. You drove it out of the nations and planted it. You cleared the ground for it. It took root. It filled the lands. The mountains were covered with its shades, the mighty trees with its branches. And the branches reach far as the sea, and it shoots as far as the river. Why have you broken down its walls, so that all who pass may pick its grapes? And the boars, they ravage it from the forest, and the insects from the fields feed on it. Return to us, God Almighty. Look down from heaven and see. Watch over this vine. You see, throughout the Old Testament, you're going to find here, as well as in the book of Isaiah, you're going to find this image of Israel being the vine that God has planted. Here in Isaiah chapter 5, he says, the vineyard of the Lord Almighty is the nation of Israel. And so throughout the history of God's people, there's this image of the vine and the branches and God blessing them and them being fruitful in the relationship. And Jesus steps onto the scene and he says to his followers, I am the true vine. I know you've been exposed to this concept, the vine. You've heard about your people, your nationality, your nation of Israel, your race of Judaism being the vine that you are connected to God through. But no, let me correct this. I am the true vine. Don't be mistaken. And you can see why in his interactions with the Pharisees and so many other Jews that they would be filled with hatred because of this type of bold claim Jesus would make. But it begins with the truth of who Jesus is. He is the vine. He is the source of life for us. He is the one to which we must be attached to in order to live in a pleasing way to the Heavenly Father and to find fruitfulness. There's a word that you're going to see as we talk about living in the vine, and it's this idea of relationships. Throughout this text, you're going to find some 11 different times the word remain. Remain, all right? 11 different times. Some of your versions may use the word abide in me. Some may say stay in me. But the emphasis that I want us to see is that what Jesus is calling us to is this constant connection to Him. If you want to say right side up in an upside down world, here's what is key to it. You've got to make sure He's the one that's keeping you afloat. You've got to make sure He's the one that is the guiding light for your life. And so I look at this and He says, stay in me. Remain in me. Stay connected to me. It's about the relationship we have with both Christ and the Father. Now, here's the question. As you think about this relationship, it is a relationship that is a personal one. I heard once said that God doesn't have any grandchildren. Think about that. God doesn't have grandchildren. Oh, we love our grandkids, don't we? But God doesn't have grandchildren. If you're in God's family, you are either a child or you're not in God's family. You may have the most wonderful parents who love you and care about you and do great things for the Lord, but if you are not yet connected to the vine, you are not part of the family of God. If you may have a great granddaddy who was an elder in the church. And I just met somebody that I'm kin to back here, Brother Thornton. Man, there was a fellow by the name of J.A. Thornton in Mississippi. Oh, he was a legend in the northeast part of Mississippi preaching the gospel. I can be his great-great-grandson, but not be a child of God. You see, the connection to the vine is a personal relationship that you make. Not your parents for you, not somebody else, but this is your relationship that Jesus is calling you to remain in. But I can't remain in something that I have not yet begun. I can't be in a family that I haven't been born into. I can't be a part of a job that I've never been hired for. You know, in order for me to remain in the vine, I first must be grafted into that vine. I must be born into, I must be planted again into the likeness of Jesus Christ. I want you to think about that. How do you get into Christ? Oh, the message of the gospel is a beautiful one, isn't it? How Jesus came and He died for us. He paid the ultimate price for us, so that our sins could be forgiven. We get faith through hearing the word, Romans 10:17. This beautiful word of God that communicates to us the grace of God and His mercy. And that we don't, thank God, get the things that we deserve. We get something that we did nothing to deserve. On the day of judgment, I promise, none of us, as the kids heard at Horizons this week, none of us will be calling for justice on that day. We'll be crying for mercy. You see, the message of the gospel is that Jesus says, I've paid for what you should have to pay for. But here's the thing, unless I am in Christ, I cannot benefit from what He has paid that price for. Romans chapter 6 is a verbiage that actually uses that phrase of how we enter into Christ. If Romans 5 speaks of God's love and how we are justified through faith and have peace through the Lord, Romans 6 then talks of our response to that gift. Romans 6, verse 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue sinning so that grace may abound? God forbid. For we are those who have died to sin. How can we continue any longer in it? Or do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus, did you catch that? That through a heart of belief and a commitment to repentance, that He says, now we are engrafted into Christ Jesus. We are baptized into Christ Jesus. We were baptized into His death. Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that in order that just like Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. You see, the place that I'm engrafted, that I'm included in this vine, that this growth begins, this place that I'm supposed to remain in, goes back to a starting place in our faith, where we are buried with Christ. Our old man is crucified, and the blood of Christ cleanses us of our sins, and we are resurrected into the newness of life. Galatians chapter 3 speaks to this by Paul in his letter to the church in Galatia, and he's referring back to things that and the ways that they encountered Christ. He said to this, speaking of the old law, before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until faith had come and would be revealed, so that the law was our guardian until Christ came. You see, the Old Testament, the law of Moses was a blessing for us. It protected us. It guided us. It taught us so much about our Heavenly Father. But it was an until law. It was not a forever law. And that's an important thing for us to understand. Oh, yes, we gained so much. We gleaned so much from the law. But it was not a forever law. You see, Paul writes and he reminds these Christians of that. Many of them who have left the old vine and have been engrafted into the true vine, and he says, look, this is, you were revealed to this. The law was our guardian until Christ came so that we might be justified by faith. And now this faith has come. We are no longer under a guardian. Then listen to how we get into the vine. So in Christ, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ, so that there's neither Jew or Gentile, slave or free, neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. For if you belong to Christ, you're Abraham's seed and you're heirs according to the promise. You see, the first thing about staying connected is that we are family. That we've been born into the family, that we started this new journey. And so it's not just something that we overlook. We look at it and we say, look, this is the most important thing today. If you're not a Christian, I don't even want to go any further, because this is what matters the most. Are you connected to the blood of Jesus Christ? Have we become part of the family of God? You see, I can't benefit from the blessings of the vine if I'm not attached to it. You don't benefit your gas tank just by sitting by the pump. Wouldn't it be nice? But it doesn't happen that way. You don't benefit through other experiences when there's just coming to the beautiful buffet at the Pizza Hut. Oh, wow, I love pizza. But if you just sit there and don't eat, there's no connection, there's no contact, there's no blessing. You see, the connection is what we must have. And that's why Jesus in this text is saying to us, remain in me. Why? Because at some point in time in their lives, they made the choice to be joined with Christ. And so we can remain in something that we have become part of. We've been united to. And I think that's so important for us. We see this phrase, this relationship, this in Christ concept. But it's not just about the relationships. And there are relationships. You have a relationship with Christ. You have a relationship now in your brothers and sisters. There are all kinds of relationships. But it's also about the concept of reproduction. What do you see in this? Well, a vine has one purpose, and it's bearing fruit. That's its purpose. I don't know if you've ever had a vine that had gotten out of control and it ceased to bear fruit. We had some fig trees out back. Oh man, they just got crumbed, but they quit bearing fruit. And it's like good for nothing, just taking up space. You cut them down. Why? because they weren't doing what they were created to do. Jesus calls us to be people who bear fruit. You think about the fruit that Jesus speaks of throughout all kinds of different things. There are places in which you think about the fruit of our lives. I love the way Paul put it in Romans chapter 1, verse 13. When you read it, he's writing this letter to those that he's loved and been part of. When he says this, "I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters. I planned many times to come to you, but I've been prevented in order that I might have a harvest among you, just as I have among other Gentiles." Paul uses this idea of being a harvested people, being a part of collecting this fruit in terms of relationships with people that he's connected to Jesus. He says, man, that's bearing fruit. When you become a child of God after being taught by someone else, you are a fruit in their life. You have been a blessing in their life. You think about souls that are won to others. They're part of the fruit. In Wednesday night class, we just studied John chapter 4. And when Jesus has talked to this woman, this Samaritan woman, and the disciples are like, "Aren't you going to eat?" And he's like, "You don't even understand the food that I've been taking in." He said, "Lift up your eyes into the field. The harvest is plentiful." What's he talking about? He's talking about there is a harvest that we are fruitful when we reap those things in our lives. We're blessed. I think about we're to reproduce in the form of helping other people to become Christians, to know Jesus. But there's also fruit that happens in our lives when we start looking more and more like Jesus. The more and more we look like Jesus, it's fruitfulness. Did you realize that? Matter of fact, it's called fruits of the Spirit in our lives, those characteristics that begin to make us and reflect the one in which we're connected to. The more and more we become like Jesus, that holiness, that likeness, we begin to see His fruit in us. But I also think about this idea of our worship as a fruit to the Lord. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 10, it talks about we offer up to the Lord the fruit of our lips, our worship. So when you are together, when we're together worshiping, it's a sense in which we're bearing fruit. If we are attached to the vine and as we worship, it's a fruit that we bring to God. We bring somebody else to Christ, it's a fruit. We become more and more like Jesus Christ. We are bearing fruit. Our relationship to the vine is producing something. I think the message for us is that when we are alive in Christ, there are good things happening. And that's one of the things that I have loved about this congregation, because I see as a whole, we are very attached to the vine, and we see things that are happening and things that are positive and things that are taking place and outreach that's being done and a focus on those things. Jesus calls us to be productive in our faith. But not only that, it talks about our responsibility, that we're supposed to help others, that we're supposed to do things and be a part of this. We have a commitment to the Lord. There's a responsibility. I think about 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 31 that says, "Whatever you do, do to the glory of the God." You know, this idea of you can eat or you cannot eat, but whatever you do, do it to God's glory. Our life is to be a reflection. It's something that we bring glory to the Father. That's our responsibility. As ones attached to the vine, we bear fruit and we glorify our Father. But there's one other thing that I kind of want us to think about this morning. And as you think about it and you look back in John chapter 15, you're going to find a phrase that, I don't know, maybe it sort of bothers me. It talks about this idea, as it says, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." He says, "You're like a branch that has been thrown away and or it's withered. And when it's picked up, it's thrown into the fire and it's burned." I think there's a seriousness about this connection to Jesus that sometimes we may miss. And the seriousness is that It's not just that my life is dead without Jesus. It's that there is a coming in which this is going to be a reality for those not connected to Christ. There is a separation that is forever. And that he even alludes to, just like there's a burning of dead branches, he said that souls that are without the Lord, it's a picture of what's to come. And that troubles me. It should bother us as we think about that and as we look at it. And truthfully, we all long to be drawn to the Lord by his love. And I think that's at the heartbeat of the gospel. But the reality is, when we are separated from God's love because of sin, our choices, our lives, there is a certain reality, and it's not a good one. And I look at that and I go, why is it so important that I'm connected to the vine, that I'm being fruitful, that even as I live, even those that are fruitful, Jesus speaks and he says, there's going to be times in which you're pruned. There are things that are cut back. Is there anything in your life you kind of look at? And this is one of those, it kind of still blows my mind. As I garden sometimes, I watch my people that cut something back. I used to, man, those crepe myrtles are the ones, you know. You got those big, thick deals, and they'll cut them all the way back, and then next spring it just starts popping out. The flowers are more beautiful than they were the year before. It's amazing. Pruning in order to be more productive in the future. For me, I wonder about things that I need to cut back in my life. Maybe good things, maybe green leaves and things that just a branch or two that are not producing fruit. And I go, man, that kind of needs to be cut back so this can be more fruitful for God. It may not be sinful things or bad things. It may just be that I need to narrow my focus on things that are forever, because the reality that's to come. And so I think about this idea of staying connected. I think about what it means to us as God's people as we think about how we abide in Christ, how we continue to remain in Him. And then as he goes on, he says, there is no greater love. He said, I want you to have a complete joy. To me, that's incredible. The world is looking for joy in their life. They're looking for something that nothing else provides. And he says, but I want you to know where it comes from. It comes from being attached to the vine that is Jesus Christ. He said, you can have this. This stuff that everybody's looking for, that everybody's trying to find in so many different ways, it's found in Jesus Christ. Are you attached to Him? Are you attached to Him this morning? Have you been grafted into the family of God through the blood of Jesus Christ? Are you attached? Because if you're not, there's nothing more important that you need to take care of this morning. Then as part of the vine, ask yourself, where is it that God is calling me to produce fruit? Where is it in my life that I can be need to be pruned? Where is it that I'm seeing God already kind of pruning me to be more effective in His kingdom? And so as we think about that together, as we think about the words of this song, I want you to think about life. And I want you to think about your relationship to the true vine that is Jesus Christ. And I want to invite you either to be connected this morning or to stay connected as together we stand, as we sing.